Hi, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Every step of Ela Flores' cancer journey left her in disbelief at the odds of her situation. She went from taking an at-home colon cancer screening test to getting surgery for stage 3 colon cancer in just a matter of weeks. Meanwhile, the world around her was shutting down, with doctors' offices closing their doors as a worldwide pandemic dominated the news coverage. In this episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast, Flores tells the story of how she began her cancer journey alone in one of the most unexpected circumstances.
Anything that can help anybody out there, give them a little bit of perspective, I think is good.
Definitely. Yeah. And we're glad to have you. So I know that you have kind of a unique story with how you came to receive your diagnosis. So can you tell me about your cancer journey and, you know, how everything started and what that was like for you?
It all started at the beginning of 2020. The year before, for some reason, I put off all my well woman exams, because you know, who wants to do any of that anyways? So in this particular year, I said, you know what, I'm just going to schedule everything at the beginning, get it over with, just start the year, just do it. That's what I did. So I scheduled all my appointments in January. And when I went to my well woman exam, my doctor, she's like, Ela, it's time for your colonoscopy. And I'm like, you know, who wants to have that? You know, she's like, I know you're busy, because I was leading a very busy lifestyle, just working, just life. And she's like, I'm going to send you Cologuard. So that way you don't have to worry about being put under, so you don't miss a day of work. And I said, okay, no problem. She goes, it comes right to your house. She's like, just follow the instructions. You'll be good to go. I said, okay. So just as she said, probably about a week later, this box came to my house. I'm, you know, in and out. Sometimes I would come in late from work. And one day I just saw it in there and I'm just like, you know what? I just want to get this over with. I'm going to go ahead and do it and send it in. So I did. About 4 days later, I received a call from my doctor's office and they said to me, you have a positive result. I was shocked, to be honest with you. I was like, what? What do you mean positive? Like, what does this all mean? Like, we never expect it, but I really, truly, because I had no symptoms, I had nothing. This is out of left field. So of course, I went to the ultimate authority, which is Google. And I started doing a little Google and I read through the Q&A also for Cologuard. And it had a few things in there. So after reading through Google, which, you know, we should never really do. But it's hard not to, because you know, you're trying to learn from other people's personal experiences, you know? So I was like, well, maybe I could just comb a little something out of this. And, you know, what I came up with in my head was, it's probably a false positive, because based on Cologuard reviews and so on and so forth, they say in their commercials, actually, you know, false positive, false negative kind of thing. So I said, you know, it's probably just a false positive. I'm not going to worry about it. But now I needed to go for an actual colonoscopy. So now I start calling offices. I actually got a recommendation because I had no idea where to go. So I reach out to my doctor and I'm like, to her assistant. And I'm like, hey, do you have any recommendations? And she's like, yes. She goes, you know what? She goes, I took her to this particular doctor, to this GI, you know, they do colonoscopies. Why don't you give them a call? And I said, okay. So I called. And, you know, the waiting is just the hardest part of anything, I want to say. Just the waiting is difficult. So I called there and I had to wait for the appointment. So for a consultation, no less, I have to go for this consultation. So I go, you know, I wait several weeks and I go and the consultation is basically easy. Yes, you need, you know, colonoscopy. Here's your script to, you know, for the stuff you need to drink, you know, here's some directions for what not to do the day before and so on. And I went home and did that. And then at that point, they gave us a date, which was several weeks later, like 2 or 3 weeks. I don't remember exactly. So it's just, there's just these pockets of time. So all that to say, I actually didn't get the colonoscopy till March 19th of 2020. I had a few friends drive me. My sister-in-law came down and she's so sweet. Her mom had passed away from colon cancer many years ago. And she drove down just to support me. And then one of my best friends, Linda, also drove down. And they were like my little, you know, cheer squad at the doctor's office when I woke up. And so I go. they bring me, they put me under for the colonoscopy. I wake up, and as I'm waking up, you know, they bring me into a room, and the doctor comes in, and my friends are there. This was like right before COVID, like right before they shut everything down. So my friends were actually allowed to come in the waiting room. I told them that they can come in the room with me, you know, so everything was okay at that moment in time. So she comes in and she says to me, the doctor says to me, "Hey, I'm so glad you brought your support system." And in my head, like when she first said that, all these things are racing through my head. And I said, well, was she having a good time with my friends? Is that why she said that? Or what does she mean? What does that even mean? And then she proceeds to tell me that she's been doing this for 20 years, colonoscopies, and that she believes that I have cancer, but that we're going to pray that it's not, and that she's sending in a biopsy to the lab just to confirm, but you know, I'll get a result back and we'll be in touch. So in the meantime, she's sending me to have blood work done. She's sending me to have a scan done. She's sending me to a surgeon, all these things. So I leave there and I'm like literally in shock. I just don't really understand, you know, what has happened. I never had a symptom of any kind. There is not one thing that I can personally point to, even looking back now in retrospect, that says, yes, some people have some marked symptoms. I wasn't one of them. So I go, this is the very interesting part and a very unique part. And just, I feel so blessed to be here talking to you, because it was a series of events that just kind of led me through the way. And it kind of felt like a Mission Impossible, like with Tom Cruise kind of movie, because I was literally, the second I walked out of that, my doctor's door that day, they literally shut down for COVID that day. So, right. I literally snuck in to getting that colonoscopy, because had I done it the next day, they already shut down. Then after that, I went for blood work. And of course, the labs were going crazy because of COVID. They didn't know what was going on. I think they were also trying to shut down, but they couldn't because they were like kind of like our frontline workers. So I was able to get one appointment. It was at 6 a.m. I'm like the next day. And I'm just like, I'm going. I just need to get that blood work. Because as soon as it hit, I just didn't want to procrastinate anything that I could get done. And I felt, you know, like this whole thing is just a cloud with this COVID situation all over the news. We didn't know exactly what to expect or what was to come. So I make that appointment the next day. I go and get my blood work done. So I think I had the blood work done on Friday. And then that Monday, I was able to schedule a scan. And I went and had the scan done. And the second I'm walking out the door, they're putting out a sign that they're closing. I was literally one of the last scans they did, which was crazy. Now, they had also referred me. I begged them for a CD because I was like, I just need to something in case I need to bring something to a doctor. So they gave me a CD and I had that with me. I had the piece of paper that said that, you know, from my doctor that they had done a biopsy. They're sending it to the lab, what they thought it was, what she saw. It was, you know, it was pretty descriptive, but it wasn't the actual, you know, final like result of what it was. She had referred me to a surgeon. I called that surgeon that day, that very day. I did everything that same day that I had the colonoscopy. But when I called that surgeon, that particular surgeon was already closed for COVID. So the first appointment that I could possibly get for that particular surgeon would have been, I want to say like 6 weeks out for a consultation, not for surgery, because they told me regardless of whether it was cancer or not, it was eventually going to obstruct. So it needed to come out. So I needed to have surgery. It feels like a little bit of a ticking bomb, you know, although none of us is promised tomorrow, you know, was diagnosed with cancer, but that doesn't mean necessarily that I'm going to die. I could die from cancer, but maybe not. So it's not like we're promised tomorrow, but there's always like this ticking. It's like a time clock that's ticking somehow, you know, especially when you get thrown in a situation like this. You want to hurry up and kind of get out of it. You want to make sure that you're going to be okay. So I called a really good friend of mine whose mom worked at a hospital. She gave him a recommendation for me. And this was a doctor. So she had been there for 30 years. This was a surgeon that she knew when he started school. So to become a surgeon. So she's known him for basically her whole life. And she said to me, "Hey, this is who I would use if I was having surgery. Give him a call." I called their office and they were very kind, you know, COVID, you know, policies were running in place. So I just had to go there by myself. So I go, and all I have, and I'm praying that he's going to not even throw me out of his office because I don't have anything to give him. I have no lab reports. I didn't have the blood work back yet. I did not have the results back from the colonoscopy. I did, you know, from the biopsy. I didn't have the results back from the radiologist that does the reading of this, you know, of my CAT scan. I didn't have anything. All I had was a CV and a piece of paper from the person, the doctor who did my colonoscopy, saying, hey, you know, I think it's cancer. That's all I had. So I take those two things. I go into his office and he just takes it. He didn't really give me a hard time about anything. He pulls up the CD. He's like, yep, it needs to come out. When do you want to have surgery? I said, well, doctor, it's up to you. When do you have, you know, an opening to do surgery for me? And he goes, tomorrow, let's do it tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, let's do it tomorrow. So unfortunately, I was not able to have surgery the next day because the insurance company needed at least 24 hours to approve my surgery. So that day I had to sit it out. It was, you know, going back and forth between my doctor's office and calling the insurance companies. Boy, did they try. It's very difficult. Their assistants calling and calling and calling and, you know, explaining and but eventually they did approve it. It was just a little too later on the next day. So then they pushed the surgery to the following day. So thank heavens that I'm a strong person with lots of faith. I mean, not to say that I wasn't stressed out or that I wasn't worried about the outcome of any of these things, but I will say that being dropped off at a hospital during COVID at the front door with no support on, you know, I mean, the hospital staff was amazing to me. I had literally this hospital. I would recommend them all day long. Like they treated me amazing. But you don't have, you know, during COVID, I didn't have that where your family goes with. They support you. They're in the hospital, whether they can come visit you in the room after surgery. I didn't have any of that. So it was just me and the hospital. That's it. I go for surgery and, you know, they removed about a foot of my colon. They removed a whole bunch of lymph nodes, about actually 15, because that's what the report said. And they sent all that away to testing. And I was subsequently, you know, diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. They found that some of the cancer was in, I would say 9 of the lymph nodes, not all of the lymph nodes, but in 9 of them. They sent me to an oncologist and I also had to, I mean, the recommendation was 6 months of chemo. So I had 12 rounds of chemo. And the interesting part is I got a little ahead of myself there, but the interesting part is after I had surgery, the doctor came in to do, you know, the follow-up. They usually come in either that day or the day after. So it was the day after he came in. And my doctor was in shock. He comes in and he's got this sling on and his hands all swollen. And I say, doctor, my goodness, what happened to you? Right after he did my surgery. Okay, this is crazy. He went home, was doing some things around the house. He fell off a ladder, broke his arm and 3 ribs. So I was like, wow. So if I had not gotten my surgery exactly when I had gotten my surgery during COVID, this crazy time when everybody was shut down and I would have had to wait all this time. If I didn't have that surgery with this particular surgeon at that particular time, you know, who knows what would have happened? Listen, I was stage 3. What was it going to take? How much longer was it going to take for me to go to stage 4 or even more? What if I had delayed and taken that Cologuard? What if I didn't set my well woman exam? I had that fire in me. Oh, I'm just getting it. This 2020, I'm getting it over with. I just want to start off the year. I want to have that behind me. What if I hadn't scheduled that? What if I hadn't listened to her? And, you know, like, so there's so many things. There's so many things. And that's why I say I felt like a Tom Cruise movie, like Mission Impossible. You know, I'm just sliding in and these doors are just slamming right behind me. But I got in, you know, I got it done. Interesting journey, right?
Yes. I mean, it's just so crazy how many what are the odds moments you had throughout the whole thing. I mean, and I can't imagine what you were going through as you were trying to process all of that in the same time as the world is upside down. And so what was the treatment process like for you, especially what was challenging about it, you know, given that you probably had to go alone with the pandemic and not to mention it was the beginning of the pandemic, you know, you didn't know a lot yet. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that was the treatment process is very interesting because it's more than one step. So I had met with the oncologist and they decide based on your blood work and your diagnosis, exactly how they're going to treat it. So to give you a cocktail, they call it a cocktail. So it's interesting because when I hear a when I heard those words at that time, I thought, oh, you know, a cocktail is a mixture of things, right? So it's all in one thing. You know, I'm thinking like a mixed drink. They mix, you know, whatever and put this in and whatever, but it's actually not. So what I learned is that everything is individually. So they had, I think they had like 4 or 5 bags that they actually gave me of the treatment. So it took time. They don't really explain it. They tell you kind of like the broad strokes, and somehow I get it, because looking back now, do you really want to know everything? There's a bit of us that inside says yes, but then there's also that no. Because I think there's something mentally inside of us that if we know everything, then can either steer us in a negative or in a positive way, whether we realize it or not. So I'm kind of glad that I didn't know everything. So that particular process was, okay, you know, I would go in for blood work the day before because they need to determine whether or not I can actually take the chemo treatment. And then that, you know, the next day I would be in there for several hours. The first treatment, I tell you what, there are a few things I wish I would have known. And if anybody were to go through the process that I've gone through, I would totally coach them, because I think the doctors are just too busy to be able to do some of those things. And I guess if I had to like pinpoint 3 things, I would say, make sure that you hydrate, super important. And also that you concentrate on protein so your body can handle it. I wasn't prepared. The first treatment was horrible. The first couple of treatments, they ended up adjusting some of the, I guess, anti-nausea medication and some of the things. It was just, you know, I think your body's just in shock. You know, you really don't know what to expect. They can verbally say to you, hey, you know, this is what could happen, or these could be your side effects and everything. But until you fully experience those things, you really don't know until you're literally in those shoes. The staff was great. It's interesting. It's like this whole room, big giant room. And in this room, you know, they have all these chairs, and they spaced them probably like 6 feet apart. Prior to COVID, you know, maybe they were spaced a little closer, but about 6 feet apart. So you can see people from across the room, and everybody, you know, is having some kind of treatment, you know, somehow or another. It's just, you know, you see everything, you know. There are people, I think, probably like myself, that you would see on the street and you wouldn't say, oh, that's a cancer patient. Yep. She's going through chemo. Like, I was probably one of those. Nobody would probably have known that. And then you see the ones that are very frail, that are just very sick. You see different age groups. I think that for me personally was very hard emotionally. My first chemo treatment, my friend dropped me off, my friend Jennifer. So she dropped me off, and I come out, you know, and I'm literally just bawling. I'm crying. I get in the car and I'm crying. And she, you know, doesn't know what to do, because she's never really seen me like that. You know, people get to see a different side of you. So I am just bawling. I get in the car and she just doesn't know how to comfort me. She doesn't know what to say. She doesn't want to. She's like, it's okay. I think she thought that, like, literally I was crying from the chemo, like I was crying for myself. But literally after I was able to compose myself after, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes of just letting it out, you know, I was able to tell her, you know, I'm like, hey, listen, I'm not even crying for myself. I'm fine. I'm okay. It's just seeing what I've seen today, you know, just people who are really in dire straits and how bad this is. And some of the things that I overheard, you know, you overhear a lot of people like chattering, you know, the patients and just everything. And it's just, you know, it was just so like, it was an eye opener. I've never been involved in anything like this. It was really a bit of a shock, not just to my personal system, but also to, you know, to my heart.
I mean, I think that says a lot about you for being, you know, so emotional over seeing the other patients. I mean, obviously it's a really heavy thing to all of a sudden process, but yeah, I mean, I think that's special. And so you talked a little bit about your friend. What else was your friends and family doing that was kind of the most helpful or most supportive things for you? Were you able to see friends and family during that time? What with COVID and everything? And yeah, how were they able to help you out?
Amazing. Amazing is the only word to describe it. There are probably a billion other words that I can use. My friends rallied against me. You know, my coworkers, they actually were sending meals to my house. They all made a schedule to take me to chemo, including friends and family. So there was 12 treatments, and it was so sweet. You know, like my nephews each individually took a time to come down here to stay with me and take me to a chemo treatment back and forth. I got so much love. I can't even describe the amount of love, because every time that they would do something kind for me, I just I would just see, I don't know, the face of like beauty, the face of God in them. You know, I would see that. It, to me, every single thing that they did for me was a gift. Matter of fact, I wrote it. I put in my phone a lot of the dates and the things that they did. And it's just like, you could scroll through it on my notes because there's so much of it. One of the things that I kind of kept up with a really good friend of mine, Justin, because it was 12 chemo treatments. He's like, okay, we're going to look at this like the 12 days of Christmas. So every time, you know, it was like the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. And then, so that week became that thing. He would send me little things with, you know, if it was geese, it would be like geese, or if it was, you know, whatever it was, he would find some kind of meme or something, you know, to bring it to light. Chemo's not fun, but that part was fun. It's like you're playing some kind of game. So it was really fun. I'm so, so blessed that I have such an incredible support system and just people surrounding me.
I love that. I'm so glad to hear that. So what is something that you learned about yourself during the whole experience?
So many things. You know, I learned that cancer is personal. And I don't mean personal, like, oh, it hurt my feelings, not like that. That it is so personal to you because everybody and everybody's situation is different and their body is different. In my case, they were able to cut it out. In some other people's cases, they're not necessarily able to cut it out. They have to use chemo or radiation. Everybody responds differently to treatment. Everybody responds differently to everything, whether it's the symptoms that you get from treatment. It's so different for everybody. So it's so personal. It's so personalized almost to you. You know, I remember my doctor telling me, and I don't know if this was for a source of encouragement before I even started chemo. She said to me, oh, you know, I have a lady that, you know, comes in here every week and she does the same treatment that you do. And she goes to work after that. And I remember, oh, that's going to be me, you know, because being so active before I even, you know, this whole thing came into my world, that's who I thought. I'm a person that always keeps going. I do push myself. You know, I just remember thinking to myself, wow, this is really different for everybody. I was literally getting infused because they would send me home with the, I forget what they call it now, but it's the, it's a little bag that they give you. It's like they give you the chemo and they put it in there and then it infuses you, you know, it's a bag. I named it Wilson. And people, I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to kick Wilson to the curb. Oh, let me tell you, I was so happy to kick Wilson to the curb on number 12. I couldn't wait. But anyways, I named him Wilson because it reminded me of the movie Castaway. And this is another thing that you learn through cancer or through, you know, any kind of shocking situation. You know, you are in essence a man on an island. Even though, and I mean, this isn't to like cast aside or, you know, anything that anyone did for me or the support system that I got. I mean, I'm so beyond grateful for how wonderful everyone was to me, including my doctor staff. But at the end of the day, you are a man on an island. You are alone because you're the one that's feeling all this. You're the one that's getting the treatment. You're the one that has cancer. You're the one in those shoes. You know, you do also learn through a process like this, you never know what people think of you or if they care about you. So it's interesting because you find that those that you expect to be there sometimes aren't really quite there how you think they're going to be. And then the ones that maybe you don't expect so much out of, those are the ones that are really come to bat for you and are really there for you. So you learn a lot through this process. You really do.
And so how are you doing now? How is everything after you are finished up with treatment?
So everything is good now. So I finished my treatment October 7th of last year. So I thought that I was just going to hit the ground running. I'm like, okay, time to get on with my life. It's very interesting because I ended up having horrible fatigue for a long time. And actually in the beginning of it, I thought it was from the chemo because I learned that chemo is cumulative. So I thought, oh, round 12 really just kind of really gave me a good kick. So I thought, man, it's just taking me a little bit to recover. So through my amazing doctor who I went to go see, and I'm just like, you know, I'm feeling a little out of breath. Like I can't quite catch up. Is this part of the chemo, you know, the side effect of the last treatment? Like, I don't know. So she tested me out. She looked me over and everything. And she's like, listen, I don't really see a, you know, like a true sign. I'm examining you and I don't really see any evidence of a blood clot. She goes, but just to be on the safe side, she goes, I'm going to send you for an emergency CAT scan of your lungs. And we're just going to make sure, you know, that it's okay. So I said, okay, no problem. They wanted me to get COVID tested as well. I got COVID tested. But what it was is actually I had a little embolism, like in my lung, like in my right lung, a little tiny, tiny embolism. So they gave me a sonogram of my legs. And when they finally did that, like hours later, after they did the CAT scan, I said, you know what? They're looking for something. They think I have a clot, or I have a clot and they're looking for it. So come to find out, I had to get treated for that. Immediately, they didn't admit me to the hospital. So thank goodness. Immediately, I went to my doctor's office because they wanted to see me and they put me on medication. It took a little bit to get over that little hump. But then more than that, I just felt like I was missing like oomph. Like I just, month after month, I'm like, you know, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. You know, I have all these chemicals in my body. Chemo is rough. I'm like, it's going to take time, you know? Well, it took me almost a year. My sister-in-law, she, you know, so when I walk, you know, I'm a fast walker. I'm not very tall. I'm like 5'3" or so, you know, but when I can get going, you know, and sometimes I leave people in the dust a little bit, like my family. So they're like, Ela, she goes, I knew you were back. She goes, because you got your swing back. You got your arm swing back. You know? And I'm like, oh my goodness. Because, you know, I was moving a little bit slower after chemo. I didn't have the energy level. I still was me. You know, I laugh at everything. I think everything's funny. I have fun. I like to be fun. So I was still me, but I just didn't quite have that little spunk that I had. But my sister-in-law, when she said that, she's like, oh, she's back. She's back. But so in the midst of all that, I ended up getting into a new career. And yeah, so it's been a change, but it's been good. You know, I look at it as a positive, and sometimes change can be good.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.